Today's words of wisdom, the definition of Buddha's land, will be presented in English, with subtitles in Arabic, Oloxese or Vietnamese, Chinese, Dutch, English, French, German, Hebrew, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Mongolian, Persian, Polish, Portuguese, Punjabi, Romanian, Russian, Spanish, Thai, Turkish, and Urdu. More languages are available online. For your special language, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/subtitles. The United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the 6 Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace Through Music, she once more contributed generously, with 2 charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000 and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S., from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky and Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled, The Definition of Buddha's Land, given on November 4th, 1989, in New York, USA.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Good afternoon again. Happy that you have come. It's Saturday afternoon. And your time is very valuable. I'm glad that you have saved some of your busy time and come here. It's sometimes difficult to speak. It's difficult to go back to the normal thinking of the human level and to be communicated through a language. But I'll try. After half an hour, it will go on automatically. Now please help and join me in prayers so that our seminar our meeting will be fruitful, will be some of benefit to all of you and those that you love. Just take a few minutes. Let's pray that the Almighty God will speak through me, and that the Almighty God within you will be awakened and listen. Thank you. Shakyamuni Buddha, when he was alive, what I mean is that when he was still in the physical plane, in the physical body, he introduced to us so many wonderful lands, what we call the Buddha lands. And Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he also introduced to us many so-called heavens, different levels of consciousness. Also, he has told us, in the house of my Father, there are many mansions. You remember? Yeah? What does it mean by many Buddha lands? What does it mean by, in the house of my Father, there are many mansions? I would like to introduce to you one of the Buddha's land. You can also say it's one of the mansion of God. According to Buddhism, there is one Buddha's land which is very beautiful. Well, there are many different, but today we speak about one of them. This Buddha land is called the land of the king of medicine, Buddha. When this Buddha was in a physical body and roam around the world liberating sentient beings, he has 12 kind of vows for the benefit of the people. What does it mean by making vows? When you are practicing bodhisattvahood, mean when you're practicing to become a saint, you like to help people in such and such way. Yes. And so you wish inside your heart that people will benefit from you in certain ways. And these are so-called vows, yeah? Mm. And through the power of your practice, your virtues, and your willpower, goodwill, these vows will become true. So one of the vows of the king of medicine, Buddha, who we call Yao Shifu in Chinese, yeah? One of his vows is that if anyone come to him afflicted with any kind of disease, body and mind, he will first give them release, give them food to eat, medicine to take care of their health, and then slowly he will make them realize the highest potential power within themselves, with what we call Buddha nature, or what we call the kingdom of God. When the disciples of the Buddha went to this Buddhas of medicine land, they saw that the land was endowed with so much precious stones, and the earth was made with crystal. Most of the Buddha's land are similar in character. The land of the medicine Buddha and the land of Amitabha Buddha are similar in characters. The earth are made a kind of crystal or lapis lazuli stone, and then houses are made from 7 precious jewels, rubies and all kind of things, yeah, diamonds and gold and etc. And the people who live in this kind of land are ever joyful, ever happy, never have any difficulty, never heard of any misery. Even the word of misery doesn't exist in that land. How much less they have to experience this kind of suffering. Whereby in our world, which we call the earth, there is a kind of mixture between suffering and happiness. Sometimes we suffer, sometimes we're happy. Some people are suffering, some people are happy. Hmm? It is different in the land of the Buddha. only happiness, only joy, only bliss, only love. No suffering, no misunderstanding, no violence, no blaming, no quarreling, no war. What is the purpose of the Buddha by telling people all these beautiful lands so that they can realize that there are other beautiful planets which we can go and live and stay permanently? No need to cling to this miserable world if we think this world is too miserable for us. Then we must not stay here. We can have a choice. That is the purpose of the Buddha coming into this world. That is the purpose of Jesus when he came into the world, to introduce to people of our world many other different planets where life is more enjoyable, more suitable for our mentality or our desire. Now, we think Buddha died, and we think Jesus has left the world, has died. But it is not true. Jesus, as well as Buddha, are still living. They are just living in a different place. Yeah. And they also evolved with the time, and with their job, and with their ever-learning. We can never learn enough. Do not think that after we become Buddha or Christ-like, we stop learning. No. Then it become like dead end. The road to wisdom is endless. Yes. So you remember in the Bible, Jesus says something very strange. He said, whatever miracle, whatever great things I can do today, you can do them even better tomorrow. Now, may I add something? Just for example, at the time you met your teacher, yeah, or what we call initiation process, you just have a little taste of heaven, of the power within yourself. So you might praise Jesus or your teacher very much and say, oh, that was a wonderful experience. What did you did to me? That was incredible. So Jesus will humbly say, no, no, that's nothing. You will do even greater. What he means, maybe you develop more, you will know even more than just what you know today. Yeah, that's one of the possibility of that time. I think there is another possibility and another meaning of what he said, is that he, at that time, wasn't that much developed, as much as he could have developed. Maybe if Jesus come back now, he's greater than when he was then. That was also one of the suggestions. Also secondly, maybe at that time, his power, even though still very great, was difficult to diffuse, to give, difficult to offer to people, because at that time, our human minds are also underdeveloped as well. We were not as civilized, not as intelligent as we are now. So even the greater Jesus couldn't do much. It's just like when you are a very excellent MD or engineer or whatever, and you go to Africa with all your PhD and knowledge, what can you do in the jungle? You can only apply some herbal medicine, wash patients with soap, and that's all you can do. And if the patients get relieved and they praise you and you say, oh, no, no, that's nothing, that's nothing. It's true, it is nothing for what the doctors can do in a normal condition, in a good hospital where he is surrounded with all kind of equipment and colleagues who help him in his job. Hmm? Also, when Jesus came to earth, it was 2,000 years ago. And as the 2,000 years gone by, he must have learned much more. So now if those who are in the future, who came after Jesus, in a better environment, in a more modernized civilization, of course, they can do greater wonder. Yeah? Yes. So, if we look in the Bible, Jesus did not have the chance to say much at all. What he say, I'm sorry, even though it was so great, but it wasn't that great. understand what I mean? I don't mean Jesus wasn't great. Was that he didn't have chance to say much. Also, the people at that time, their understanding wasn't that great. Not great enough to match Jesus' wisdom. So he had to tell them in a parables, yeah, kind of stories, and have to use some kind of healing power, all these kind of things to awaken people. Also tell them in very simple, straightforward terms. Also only tell them to keep commandments and believe in God, pray to God, etc. Only some of his chosen few disciples were selected to be the messenger of his message. The rest, he just cured them of their sickness, uplift them a little bit in a mental way, invisible way, or comfort them, or remind them of the commandment and remind them of God. Therefore, those who came after Jesus, having the same capacity as he, reaching the same level of enlightenment, could do much more than he does, could speak more, and in a more logical way, in a more intelligent way, in a more scientific way, in order to suit the modern society. So it is not very advantageous to us to cling to the image of our old-time Jesus or Buddha. We have to advance. And what we learn today, it must not be always what the people learned in the past. Now, why did the Buddha have so much time and talks about so many Buddha's land? It wasn't he who talked even. It was his disciples who were taken to the land of the Buddha and came back and write the so-called diaries. Of course, the Buddha was there in that Buddha land. And the Buddha was the one who took these disciples around and introduced. But it was not necessary that he spoke to the earthly people in the human language. Yeah? Some of my so-called followers or disciples or students or fellow practitioners, whatever you call it, they also have similar kind of experience. They were taken to those beautiful lands, the lapis lazuli or those with crystal paved ground and golden palaces. And also when they came back to the earth consciousness, they also wrote down their experiences and their joy in this heavenly kingdom or in this Buddha land. So these Buddha lands do exist, and they are much more beautiful, much more gracious than our earth. In the universe, we can see with our physical eyes, there are many kind of planets. Our scientists are now trying hard to discover what kind of planets are these, and are they peopled or not peopled? Are the people over there similar to ours or are not similar? Those planets in the universal system are indeed people with many different beings. Some are so different in frequency, in vibration, that our physical eyes could not detect. Even if we send a spaceship into that planet and the astronaut with all the equipment, we could not see them. Therefore, when our astronauts went to the moon, they see nothing. And they take some rocks home. It's very expensive rocks. I think we should buy them and wear around our neck. Moonstone. Because it's more expensive than diamond. Compare the cost of the spaceship, no? Why is that our eyes fail to see the invisible beings in the other galaxy, other planet? It is because we are made from different density of matter, yeah? Actually, matter are not matter at all. I think science has proved that matter are actually empty of nature. It's only different in density. I think that's very logical. That's why the Buddhism has the theory of emptiness. Yeah? Emptiness means all things are empty in their own nature. It's only the difference in density. We heard people say that all beings in the universe are of the same essence. Today I am enlightened in this matter. Yes. Thanks to you. If I didn't speak about this, I wouldn't have forgotten this wisdom. I wouldn't have remembered. Because today you came and you need to know this, so I have the opportunity to dig out this information and give it to you. If it hasn't been for you, I probably wouldn't have need this information, and it's put safely in the store, I may be just forgotten. So to become enlightened is also like that. Yeah? We have to unlock our memories. We have to use them each day into our daily practice, our daily living. We will unlock more mystery, more capacity in our dormant storage of the brain. That's how we call enlightenment. That's what we call getting more wisdom. Nothing mysterious about that. Everything we already have in our brain, in our store, it's just that when we don't use them, we forget them. They are just like non-existent. Now, as much as I have told you about the story about the water and the air and the ice, which are made from the same element, we are also made from the same essence, same element. That is the light, the vibration, which we call the word in the Bible. The word means the vibration. At the ancient times, they don't call vibration, they call the word. Yeah? Something which makes sound, that is the word. Whether it is invisible sound or visible sound, they have no expression for this, so they call it the word. And so Lao Tzu has no expression for this, so he called it, if you press me too much, I will say it is Tao. I have no word for it. Now, in the Buddhist terminology, they call it the sound stream, yeah, the inner sound. It all amounts to the same thing. That's why we hear in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. So this vibration, or this light, will become more dense as it descends into a different levels of the universal hierarchy. It becomes the most dense here. So we have this kind of visible body, and it moves around. But when someone practice at a very high level and develop themselves into the highest wisdom and the highest power, and they merge themselves back to the original source, then sometimes you see their body disappear. It's not that they disappear, they just melted into the original form. Just like the ice, if put in contact with sunlight or fire, melt it into water, and then disappear into the air again. But when we meditate, we practice, we become Buddha, great master, we will not just disappear so quickly. We also have a control over our body, over our destiny, and we want to stay for the benefit of others. But our body is not always real anymore. Therefore, sometimes if such a master give discourses in some way in samadhi or in some way teaching others, and some people just don't see the body of that master at all, just see an ocean of light. And that light will even swallow all the audiences in the lecture. That you may experience sometimes, maybe even for the extent of half an hour, 1 hour, 2-3 hours, you are just lost in this sea of light and blissfulness. It is because that master has merged into the ocean of light. Sometimes the master chooses to manifest this to some of the disciples, maybe just to convince him or her, or maybe just because that disciples had a great affinity with that master in the past. But it's not everyone can see this phenomena. And it's not that every master is so high to manifest this kind of phenomena. Now, it is difficult to find this master because they are too ordinary. They might not even have any robe at all. They just wear ordinary clothes. The more ordinary, maybe the more great. Yes. Sometimes we happen to walk on the street and we might see many of bodhisattvas, the saints, but we might not recognize. They work in silence. In the Buddhist sutra, we call the Lotus Sutra, Sakyamuni Buddha has mentioned that in every cycle of our existence, the bodhisattvas, mean the great saints, yeah, will always appear in this earth to protect the great teaching, protect the Dharma. It's not possible for us to always recognize these because they are so great in numbers and they work in different fields in different ways. So you may see an engineer or maybe a doctor or maybe a taxi driver, but they are great saints. So take care to respect other people when you happen to bump into one. It's the best attitude is to look at all beings as Buddha, as saints. Then you may experience great wonder, great change taking place in your life. I have mentioned already, it is not necessary to go into the Himalaya or to shave your head to become enlightened. Yes. I have done so because it was my path, my destiny. Now suppose I am already enlightened and I am already a monk. What happens if I let my hair grow very long and then wear jeans and running around? Do you think I lose my enlightenment then? No. Exactly the same. Doesn't matter what you do in the world, doesn't matter how many duties you have to discharge. Once you are enlightened, you are enlightened forever. It's just that you need the key to enlightenment. And the faster, the better. Of course, we have no time. We are in a modern world. We can't just sit there for years and wait for the sudden awakening. If we do not have any taste beforehand, it's difficult for our scientific age people's mind to believe in anything that they cannot prove. Therefore, the so-called masters nowadays openly give people some evidence of the greater level of consciousness, of the kingdom of God or the Buddha's light. So in order for people to get some proof and to believe, to hang on to, and to develop. There is only the different levels of enlightenment. Yeah? Once you are enlightened, you are enlightened. It's just that you choose to go further, to be greater, or you choose to stay there. So once you are initiated, you are different beings. You are a different level. Just like once you are graduated in high school, and once you are registered in the college, you become a college student, yeah? There's no back for anymore. You cannot be called kindergarten student anymore, or high school student. You choose to learn more, to become a PhD, or you choose to stay in that and you drop out. But nevertheless, you were a college student. You are not a high school graduate. So once you are enlightened through a grace of a master, through your own effort, you are forever enlightened. You are no longer like you were before. But it's a matter of diligent practice afterward that counts. It's not just one moment enlightenment make you become a Buddha. Yeah? It's not that you register once in the college and never learn anything, then you become a MG. No, no. It's not so simple. So, as every other science, we need constant effort and diligent practice. But also we need an assurance from a teacher and also a helping hand. Sometimes we slip and sometimes we are ignorant of our progress. Sometimes we do not know the pitfall in the practicing road, which is a very long and difficult one. So we need a friend, a faithful, unselfish, and wise friend to guide us, to help us on the road. Walking, we must do alone, but helping the friend may make the journey more pleasurable, faster, more enlightening. So the teacher is a good friend who walks beside you and help you when you fall down, yeah? Cook for you when you are sick, and help you when you are tired, and encourage you when you lose your enthusiasm. But the teacher cannot enlighten for you. Teacher can put you on the path only, then we can walk.
怎样分别一个法门是否是正法? How do you know the method is the highest, is the right one for you to learn?
任何的法门呢，让我们能够看到我们自己的佛性，就是正法，最简单。让我们看到自己的光亮的品质啊，光亮的佛子，让我们知道我们自己不是这个肉体，我们不是这个繁复的烦恼，看我们看到自己的光，就是佛光，自己的佛光，那个就是正法。Any method that bring you close to Buddha, yeah, Buddha nature, bring you back to God,Show you that you have God power, show you that you have God light, Buddha's light. That is a correct method. Okay?
怎样得知所得的印心是真佛心？
他的意思是说，怎样能够知道那个印心的时候，他才能够得到佛性，是不是？
Yes.
你马上得到了，不用问怎么样，马上知道。张师傅给你一个苹果，你就马上知道这个就是苹果，你赶快吃下去，哪里还有时间问怎样知道这个就是苹果。
怎样修改自己的行为才能够得到更加的印心？
你的意思是说怎样能够有多功德，印心的时候，开悟的时候才比较高等起，是不是这样？那你在外面有看到条件吗？印心的时候就都是师父的工作，印心了以后才是你的工作啊，你跟着师父那个所谓的戒律就好了啦。 OK， 尽量做你的最好的能力啊， follow the precepts，尽量嘛，我们还是人啊，当然偶尔有可能难免会有一些懈怠啦，不过师父都有讲尽量嘛，在能免的情况都要持戒，是这样而已。印心的时候都是师父的工作了，你们没有带来什么，你们有可能昨天还是牛排，所以不用问怎样。
您是说印心的时候我们什么也不用做，
过程师父会洗掉，当来才重要。过去我们弄错，我们不知道嘛，太晚了啦，那都会原谅啦，佛菩萨会 cancel 起掉。
好，谢谢。
我们重新 ABC 开始。
The master said, during the initiation, master will clean up your karma, all of you. And the master also mentioned, the answer for this question is the requirement for the initiation.That's the ones you have to follow. But you have to do your best. We are human beings. We have some weakness. Master understand that. But please do your best and Master will take care of the rest. I haven't learned the Buddha list for 3 years, but no progress at all. What's the problem? 他学佛三年都没有进步，毛病在哪里？
It is because you have only followed the theory of Buddhism and not getting the practice, understand? And not having the fruit of the theory. 你们学佛，所谓学佛的人啊，都是念佛的道理而已，道理而已，没有得到佛性啊，没有得到佛那个 本性啊，没有得到内在的那种体验，所以善念才没有结果。比方说我们说那个苹果是很好吃啊，它外面就是绿绿的，里面是白白的，又甜又酸又有很多吃啊，不过从来没有吃过，当然不会晓得啊，这样不知道啊，也没有满足啊。那比方说你每天念阿弥陀佛经，那比方说而已，你念了阿弥陀佛，真的那个国土啊，有黄金铺地啊，有琉璃装潢啊，有那个八功德水啊，有小鸟唱歌啊，有莲花当那个交通的方式等等，莫你从来没有看到阿弥陀佛，从来不去过那边，从来没喝到功德水，从来没听一点点小鸟唱歌，从远远的地方也没听到，那当然不会有结果啊。所以师父在贡献这个法门，让你可以得到一点点所谓的阿弥陀佛的境界。即使没有完全的话，刚刚开始就一点点而已，还可以，是不是？比方说我们还没有到那个饭馆啦，我们饿了还想去吃饭，还没有到，不过最少人家带到对的路啊，快到饭馆会闻到一点的菜啊，这点餐味就知道，哎呀，对了对了，这个就是了，是吗？还没有进来，不过最少有对的路啊，不然的话走着走着半天啊，我们会饿死啊。听说那个饭馆很好吃而已，没有看过，没有吃过。The problem is that he had only read other people's experience and doesn't have experience himself. For example, in Buddhism, we have a scripture describe the land of Amitabha Buddha, but he has never been there.Every day he just recites this kind of Buddha's land, and he doesn't even have any appetite for it. Because how can you have, well, he might have appetite, but he has not the food. So I said, my method is to offer you a little bit of the taste of the Buddha's land, so that you know you are on the right path and encouraged to walk further.Then you know you have success. Otherwise, of course, you study for 30 years, you have no success. Never mind 3 years. 3 years too short already. Some people waste 30 years, never see any Buddha's land. Never have a glimpse of the Buddha's light. Never have a little bit sound of the Buddha's musical voice. It's very difficult. If you don't have a correct teacher, if you don't have a correct path, it's nevera success at all. Just like someone take you to the restaurant. You're so hungry and you want to find a restaurant. Well, at least the person take you to the right road. If you haven't reached the restaurant yet, you know you're on the right road and carry on further walking. Because you can smell a little bit of the food from his kitchen from far away. And you know that's it, we're on the right path. Otherwise you walk for many days and many roads, you can never have anything.
Supreme Master Qinghai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Gentle viewers, thank you for your company for today's episode of Words of Wisdom.Join us again Tuesday for part two of Supreme Master Qinghai's wisdom-filled lecture entitled The Definition of Buddha's Land, given in New York, USA, in 1989. And now, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms is coming up next, right after Noteworthy News. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. With heaven's blessings, may your day be filled with sunshine and loving kindness.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.